This is Dr. Robert Abley shining a spotlight on freedom. About 6 months ago, I did a commentary equating what was happening in American government today to what Mussolini did in Italy in the 1930s. Given the events of the last 2 weeks, I would like to reiterate my argument that we are now crossing the threshold from democracy to fascism in this country. Most definitions of fascism have as one element of the definition government control of private enterprise. This is the aspect I wish to highlight today. It is intellectually honest and fair to say that whenever the mechanisms of government become intertwined with private profit so that both sectors operate together on the basis of the same interest, the result is a fascist state. As a demonstration of this assertion, let us examine the Labor Charter of 1927, formed by Mussolini's Grand Council of Fascism. This charter stated that, according to the tenets of fascism, state intervention in economic production may take place where private initiative is lacking or is insufficient, or when at stake is the political interest of the state. This intervention may take the form of control, encouragement, or direct management. If that's not enough, the 1930s fascism also espoused the philosophy of social Darwinism, which holds that superior individuals would rule and would destroy the weak members of society. What that meant economically was that government was to promote the interests of corporate Italy while destroying trade unions and all other collectivist organizations of the working class. Historian Gaetano Salvemini argued in 1936 that fascism makes taxpayers responsible to private enterprise because the state pays for the blunders of private enterprise. Profit is private and individual. Loss is public and social. This was written in 1936, friends. For my third premise, consider the restatement of this historical period of Mussolini's Italy and Hitler's Germany by the author Michael Parenti. Parenti says, in both countries, the minimum wage laws, overtime pay, and factory safety regulations were abolished. Taxes were increased for the general populace, but lowered or eliminated for the rich and big business. Both Mussolini and Hitler showed their gratitude to their business patrons by handing over to them publicly owned and perfectly solvent steel mills, power plants, banks, and steamship companies. Both regimes dipped heavily into the public treasury to refloat or subsidize heavy industry. As a result, the economy was gripped by recession, a staggering public debt, and widespread corruption. But industrial profits rose, and the armament factories busily rolled out the weapons. Now let's trace out what is happening in this regard today. I needn't belabor the obvious parallel that exists between then and now. The capitulation of this parallel comes from the Bush Corporation wanting a $700 billion tax gift from taxpayers to corporations, with a new law stating that what they want to do with that money will not be overseen by anyone and will become completely unregulated. Much like the Italian Parliament under Mussolini, the Democrats here and now do not stand up against this, except for a few issues about congressional oversight. This lack of courage enabled the bill's supporters to push their way through the process. Even Nancy Pelosi excused herself from standing firm because, she said, it's the Republicans' bill, so they can be responsible for it. That is not leadership at a time when we desperately need strong leadership. There is far more that can be said in support of this thesis that America is becoming a fascist state. For example, we could discuss the excessive militarism of fascist countries and compare it to Congress's giving the Pentagon $603 billion in new spending for next year. We could also discuss the scapegoating of immigrants and the reckless military adventures of invading other countries such as Iraq, Afghanistan, and now Pakistan, if not Iran. We could add to this the fixation of government on the security of the homeland, combined with the culpably negligent mainstream media allowing themselves to be manipulated by corporate government interests. All these things were done by fascist states, and I examined all of them in a previous commentary. As I said then, while none of these characteristics is individually sufficient for defining a fascist state, taken together they are sufficient. But because my concern this week is with the economic aspect of fascism, I'm going to take it that I have sufficiently established that America is now crossing into fascism, defined in its economic aspect as a corporate government collaboration that combines money and political power and views human and civil rights as obstacles to the pursuit of both. Fascism throughout its history uses the 1-2 combination punch of capital enhancement and lawmaking ability to enhance the wealth of elites and to consolidate their control of the political system against the common citizenry and their rights. If what's going on right now in this regard is not a form of fascism, then fascism does not exist. So now the question is, what do we do about it? I would like to return to my usual base for an answer, and that is to the founders and their founding philosophy. They have an unequivocal answer for us, and we will examine that next week. Robert Abley, SpotlightOnFreedom.com.